Welcome back, everyone. I'm Kevin Barbro, and you're listening to Coffee Talk XL here on talkradio.nyc, or you're watching me live right now on facebook.com/talkradionyc, just all one word. So today's episode, we're going to be talking music. We're going to be talking traveling. I got my best friend in the world, Kramer, is joining us. You're muted, brother. You got to bounce that mute off, brother. And yeah, man. And he's my ride or die. We've been on massive road trips all over the world, and he has a huge music collection behind him right now. And so we're going to be talking about a road trip that we took that was essentially done out of music for the most part. And then after that, I am going to have my buddy Marco Rosario, who I don't know if everybody else can see him, but he's in the background working on his computer right now. And I'm going to have him on in about a half an hour here for the second half of the show. But crazy week, bro. Dude, Kramer, you tell me if you feel the same way, right? But I don't like to shave, bro. I don't know how often you got to shave for work because, like, you got a real job. But I can't stand it. So I talked last week on my show about, as an actor and the branding that goes behind me as an actor, I actually, this goatee, bro, I mean, I cultivate this, man. I talk to this goatee. My cat licks this goatee at night. All right. That's how I grow this bad boy. And so if somebody wants me to shave, they got to pay. You know, yeah. I got a price to pay because I can't stand to shave. I don't know how you feel about it, bro, but I can't stand it.
I hate it too. I mean, luckily I've been working from home for the last year, so I've been able to, you know, just let it go. I don't have to really look very good for anybody. Just actually this morning though, just to prime up for your show, I shaved off about a 3-week beard. I trimmed it down a little bit, but I never get clean shaven. I'll trim it down some, but it's very, very rare. I bet in the last year I've been clean shaven maybe twice.
Well, dude, in the world of acting, you know, obviously commercials sometimes want me to be clean shaven. I mean, it's actually rare because I'm telling you, 95% of the time they want this particular look right here. But I did get an email today. Hey, we'd like for you to do this show. It's a commercial. I don't even actually know if it's a commercial because it sounds more like a PSA on vaccinations, and it'll run in the New York City, you know, tri-state area market. It was labeled as a commercial, but I actually think it's probably more like a PSA. But anyway, long story short, they asked me, hey, man, would you be willing to shave? Now, this is my sweet spot, bro. Okay, my sweet spot is right around $1,000. I'm just throwing it out there to the acting world, right? So I have a price. If there's a certain price for me to just be on a show, there's a certain price for me to shave. And that price to shave is higher. And the sweet spot's $1,000. These cats are coming in a little under the sweet spot, bro. So I'm actually in a position right now. Yeah, you know what? I don't need the work.
Might not be worth it.
Yeah, because the problem is, I'm not going to look like this for like 2 weeks if I shave it off. You know what I'm saying? So, and not only that, no exaggeration. I've probably had minimum. I haven't even counted it, but if I were to guess, I've had 12 auditions in the last 10 days. I mean, that's a lot. And it was a holiday too.
Yeah.
And I've already cranked out like 8 or 9 of those. And I had the goatee. So if all of a sudden, listen, casting directors can't stand it when you show up and you don't look like you did in the audition when you get called back for the for the callback, you know? I mean, obviously.
Yeah. You know, you've got a particular look, you know, you've got like the working man everyday look, you know, and without the goat, it goes away completely. You look like a totally different person. And so do I.
Dude, I'm telling you. I probably can shave 15 years off of my face just by getting rid of the gray. I'm serious, man. I can crank it way back, man, just getting rid of the gray. But probably the coolest audition I had this week And then we'll get to our story, man. But probably the coolest audition I had this week is for like what I would consider to be the absolute perfect gig for me. So I think I might have mentioned it to you. So I got asked to audition. This is kind of like about the second or third round of this at this point. But it's to be the host of a TV show on an undisclosed station. And I can't give away too much about the whole thing, but essentially, this is to be the host of a national TV show about the unexplained. And dude, I'm telling you that it's almost as if this show was made for me.
What you and
because
I
talk we've about, had yeah, we've had these conversations, man.
Yeah. We've had so many conversations about that kind of stuff over the years, you know, the Great Pyramids, UFOs, all sorts of stuff. I mean, if you look into the Great Pyramid, oh my God, there is so much just wild stuff about the dynamics of that pyramid that there's no way humans 4,000 years ago could have built that thing.
No, there is no way. And all, if you add up all the little things, because we've had this discussion before, right? The fact that it's exactly the world's largest pyramid, we're talking about for the viewers. The world's largest pyramid is located exactly at the equator. Like not even like a hair off, man. It's exactly at the equator. Yeah. And not only is it exactly at the equator.
Exactly this too in the world?
Yes. And the sides of it, the bottom, the sides of it run exactly north, south, and east, west. And then the height of it is exactly the mean height elevation of the world, of the earth.
There is absolutely no way humans 4,000 years ago could have known that.
I'm telling you. It goes beyond how they built it. Yeah.
Is it aliens? Is it, a religious being? Who knows? But how the hell did humans know that 4,000 years ago? There's no way.
Anyway, long story short, this by far, if I don't get this, listen, if I killed the audition, I'm going to be straight up real with you. If I don't at least get to the next round, I'd be fall down stunned on this one. Now, I obviously have like this crazy overconfidence myself at times, which has led to, I don't know, my own demise from time to time, as you know. And for the viewers, Kramer is my one friend. I said this last week on the show. I said, listen, you got to find somebody that's going to be honest with you. Because we all have people in our lives that are going to tell us whatever it is that we want to hear. But you got to find somebody that has the wherewithal to be straight up honest with you. That's Kramer in my life. So, I mean, multiple times in my life, I'm probably looking for the advice that I think that I'm looking for somebody to tell me what I want to hear. Kramer is not that guy. Don't go to Kramer for information, man, because when I resigned almost a decade ago, I'm on ESPN. And I mean, they're talking about it. Your advice to me in terms of talking to the press was what?
Yeah, I do public relations for a living. I've done it for 27 years. I told you to shut up. Don't talk to anybody.
Exactly. And what did I do?
You talked.
Yes. Because that's how I roll, man. And 2 months ago, when an ex-girlfriend hits me up through Instagram, you know, about some ridiculous stuff, what was your advice?
I said, don't even reply to that. Nothing good can come from this.
Exactly. And what did I do?
You replied, of course.
I would not. Yes. So anyway, what I wanted to talk about this week, besides the whole acting thing, is – Eyjafjallajökull, as you know, our trip to Ireland and to Northern Ireland to see you too. Now, just a little bit of a background for the people that are listening in, and you're going to guess, is that the Joshua Tree?
That is Joshua Tree. Original from 1987, still sealed.
Still sealed, not even open.
Yes, worth a lot of money.
Where'd you find that?
I bought it originally in 1987. Still had it. Have it ever since.
So it survived.
It survived.
And we won't say her name.
Yes. It,
okay.
That record and about 50 other records survived the purge.
Yeah. So Kramer, in his infinite wisdom back in the day, where, how many years? Was this 20 years ago?
This was 20 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was in a relationship that was, oh, geez, what's the word I'm looking for? Toxic. Yeah. And the woman he was with convinced him somehow to get rid of an album and music collection that he had started when he was in high school, man. I mean, we were grown-ass men.
Gigantic collection, thousands and thousands of pieces. It was literally taking up an entire room in mine and my girlfriend's house, and she hated it with a passion, just determined to get rid of it. And, you know, in my infinite wisdom back then, sold it off. I hung on to about maybe 200 or 300 of the nearly 1,500 CDs, and I hung on to about 50 of the about 1,000 albums. It's the worst thing I ever did in my life, getting rid of that. I have built it back up, as you can see behind me.
Yeah, man. Holy cow.
That is a wall of about 2,000 albums right there that I have built back up over the last, I've been really intense about it over the last 3 or 4 years. And matter of fact, there's a stack of records sitting right here next to me that came in the mail today. I'm increasing it every day, and just wish I had never gotten rid of that back in the day. There's only about maybe 20 or 30 albums from back in the day that I haven't replenished. Mostly, I'll be honest, it was the Grateful Dead, because they are super expensive right now. It's just ridiculous how much Grateful Dead vinyl is going for now.
And really?
I'm just not into it like I was back then, so I haven't replenished that aspect of the collection. But pretty much
but I'm guessing it's hard to find as well.
It is to a point, yeah. Yeah.
Well, listen, we're going to be heading to our first commercial break here in a second, and then when we come back, I want to talk about our trip to Ireland and Northern Ireland. The reason we went was to watch U2. We had 6 dates planned, but the real adventure was outside of that. We're going to talk about it in just a minute. I'm Kevin Barbro. You're listening to Coffee Talk XL on talkradio.nyc, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Andow, for the show, A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m., so tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
Did you know that nearly 1 in 5 adults in the U.S. battles mental illness? Hi, my name is Albert Dabba. I'm the host of the show Extra Innings. Extra Innings, I discuss the topics of wellness, mental health, and the experience of surviving multiple suicides within my family. Listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern to Extra Innings for discussions with sports figures, artists, mental health professionals, and many others. That's Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back, everybody, to Coffee Talk XO. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening on coffeetalk.nyc, or you're watching us live right now on facebook.com/talkradioNYC, all just one word. And just make sure that, take a second, follow me on Facebook. You can find me at facebook.com/KevinBarbaroProductions, or you can follow me on Instagram at KevinBarbaroActing. Yada yada. That's my self plug, but I'm here with my best friend Kramer, and we're going to be talking about a road trip that we took. So he and I have taken a ridiculous amount of road trips in our life. I mean, listen, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm a great guy to road trip with because I am up for anything.
I don't want a road trip with anybody but you. I go on road trips with other people, and I'm so disappointed because I know how great it is when you and I road trip together.
Because, dude, I just roll with it, man. And so anyway, back in 2017, Kramer gets in touch with me. He's like, hey, man, I'm thinking about going to Ireland and following U2 around because they're going to be playing Dublin. And, dude, U2 in Dublin, hello.
It's a bucket list item for me, you know.
Unreal. Yeah. Now, how many U2 concerts have you been to in your life?
I've seen U2 39 times.
Exactly. So this is a U2 aficionado.
Yeah.
And they were going to be playing the Oxygen Center in Dublin, and then they were going to be heading up to Belfast to play a small place there. Now, normally they're playing, you know, Soldier Field, which we've seen them at. They're playing huge outdoor stadiums, and they packed in these small indoor ice arenas and scaled it down. So anyway, that was the reason we went. And listen, if it comes to road tripping, don't dare me. I mean, just in real life, don't dare me about anything, because if you dare me, I'm going to do it. You know, you don't have to ask twice. Don't even double dog dare me.
Yeah, don't either.
So anyway, we road trip to Dublin. We fly into Dublin, and Kramer's fan. Now, is it your mom's side or your dad's side?
My mom's side. So my mom's parents were born just outside of Belfast. And I talked to my mom just before we went. And she said, you know, I remember going back there. My mom went there once with her mom, who was born there. And when my mom was about maybe 20 or 25 years old, something like that. And she says, all she remembered was she remembered going to this cemetery that was attached to a Catholic church. And she remember her uncle was there with them. And the uncle said, if you go back to up the hill there in the back of the cemetery, you'll see some graves that are Dowd graves. Dowd was my grandmother's maiden name. Okay. So that's all we have. My mom didn't know what town this was in. We knew it was in the general vicinity of Belfast. That's it. That's all we knew. A cemetery that had a hill that had graves on top that were Dowd, and it was attached to a Catholic church. That's all we knew. So Kevin got there, and we go to my grandmother's hometown, which is Randallstown, about 20 miles outside of Belfast, and we scour every Catholic church with a cemetery within about a 30-mile radius of that area. And sure enough, after like the fifth or sixth one, we find a cemetery that has a little bit of a hill. I go up the hill. Sure enough, there are Dowd graves on top of that hill. Unbelievable. We found it.
Dude, and the story doesn't even end there. Because
No. That's just the beginning of how crazy this story is. Okay.
So to recap, we had no idea where we were going. I mean, we've never been to Northern Ireland. I've been to Ireland like seven times. Kramer and I went there back in the day and traveled around. This is like 10 years ago or so. But we had no idea. Now, we're only there to just go and see U2. But this is just like, hey, man, let's rent a car. let's head out into the countryside and let's try to find this. So we stop, as Kramer was saying, we stop at these small Catholic churches, and we're at one point we've got a nun.
Yeah, remember that.
In the rectory, yeah.
Right? We went into the rectory. I explained my family history to the nun. She's like, well, I don't know, maybe it was our parish. And she pulls out the old books, from 100 years ago, but we can't find my grandma's name in there or the family name anywhere. So, and their cemetery was very small, and it didn't have a hill. So we move on.
Exactly. So we're driving up through the countryside. We find a cemetery. It doesn't meet all of the criteria that we're looking for, but there's somebody inside, and they say, you know what? This sounds like possibly there's a place in our county, because Ireland is divided up into like 36 counties or whatever it is, and you should try it out. I mean, we're just literally flying blind, and we don't have a GPS. We don't have anything. We're just literally just kind of cruising through. So anyway, we're coming up over this hill. We see this burned out church on the same property as a brand new church, and this long sloping uphill, and there's a cemetery in it, right? So anyway, as Kramer was saying, we roll up to this place, and it is the cemetery we're looking for. I mean, and this is the beginning of the story. No way in the world we should have been able to find this place, right? So we're there, and Kramer's going around, and he's looking at the different site, for his family. I'm just kind of walking around, just looking. I'm like a 9-year-old. I'm looking for the oldest grave I can find, right? Because I don't have any connection whatsoever. I'm just thinking about the next pint of Guinness that we're going to get. And this older guy, maybe 10 years older than us, maybe a little more, he rolls up and he's like, hey, what are you guys doing? We're just like, well, we're just, looking for my buddy's family. He's like, well, I saw you were looking at this grave over there.
Yeah, I'm actually standing on, when he comes up, I'm standing on top of one of the Dowd graves, and I'm taking a picture of the headstone. And he comes up, and he's kind of angry, actually. And he's like, what are you doing? And I was kind of taken aback. I'm like, whoa, hey, everything's cool here, man. No worries. And I go, I'm from America. I explain who we are. And I go, I think this might be one of my relatives. And he goes just dead silent and blank for a second. And then he looks at me square in the face and he goes, that's one of my relatives.
Yeah. And so as it turns out, not only do we find this grave, not only do we find this random cemetery, but this guy's daughter was picking up her kid. This is how my life works, man. Anybody that's ever been around me, they will tell you that I'm the luckiest and most unlucky guy that you'll know. And if you're with me, you're going to experience both the lucky and the unlucky side of that, right? Hold on. Sorry about that. My cat. When you got a cat rescue, that's what you deal with, man. So anyway, this guy's daughter is picking up her kid from daycare that's located right at the back of the cemetery. And she calls her dad, hey, there's these guys, they're hanging around like the family plots. You know what I mean? As it turns out, Kramer is related to these people. I mean, we're in Northern Ireland. We are in the East Nowhere BFE of Northern Ireland.
We're in a tiny town of maybe 2,000 people, and in a small town like that, if you find somebody that you can go back 100 years and they got the same last name as you, you're definitely related to them.
Absolutely.
We figure out that we're like fourth or fifth cousins, and we randomly happen to meet at a freaking gravesite. 5,000 miles away from my home. I mean, the odds. And so this guy is like, he almost instantly goes from being upset with me to like being overjoyed. And he becomes the friendliest guy in the world. And he calls up his brother. Or it was either his brother or his cousin. I can't remember which. And he goes, hey, and he's telling the story. And these guys are super excited. And then he calls up his mom, who's like 85 years old. She lives just down the street. And the mom is like, oh, my God, you got to bring the Americans over for some tea. So Kev and I go over to the grandma's house. And we're sitting with her in her house for like an hour having tea and crumpets or whatever the hell they eat with tea over there.
Absolutely just ridiculous, man. And the whole thing, okay, by the way, you two was amazing, of course, but that really was everything except for, I'll say one other thing that was really impressive to me besides what we were able to experience there were the walls. In Belfast, and the walls that have been painted, back during the resistance
The IRA murals and all that stuff. And we found out very quickly here, my grandfather lived in Belfast, like just a block away from the Bobby Sands IRA mural, which is like the most prominent mural in all of Belfast. Unbelievable. My grandfather lived close to that.
Crazy. And we found his church as well. So anyway, Kramer, dude, I'm going to have you back here in the next couple of weeks, and we're going to go through some of our other road trips. But great to see you, brother. Keep collecting the music, and we're going to be back here. I'm going to have Marco Rosario. That's DJ Marco from Philly, baby. He's going to be on here to talk about music and mental health, and we're going to be back here in just a couple of minutes on Coffee Talk XL on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Coffee Talk XL. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening on talkradio.nyc, or you're watching us live on Facebook at facebook.com/talkradionyc. Just one word. I got my next guest on the show now, my good acting buddy, Marco Rosario. What's up, brother?
What's up, Kev? How you been?
Man, you know how I've been, bro. I've been killing it, man. But it's interesting, just to give people kind of a brief overview of our connection. We actually were cast originally. Now, we've been in multiple things together, but we were cast originally to be a part of like this rebranding campaign by Ocean. Is it Ocean City? What was the name of that casino?
Ocean City, Maryland. I think it's Ocean Downs Casino.
That's what it was. So yeah. Myself and Marco, they paired the two of us up with like three gorgeous women and made it seem like we were like these high roller cats, you know? And so if you go to Ocean Downs, guaranteed around, you see all the pictures, you see the billboards and stuff. That's us, man.
Yeah. That's Marco.
But interestingly enough, you know, I think part of it is in that kind of mid-Atlantic region on the actor side of things, and we're going to talk about music and mental health here in a sec, but on the actor side, there's just not a whole lot of actors, particularly middle-aged guys that are like us, okay? So we ended up, we would randomly show up, and we'd realize that we're on a shoot for, we've done two Black & Decker gigs. One was a commercial. You had your own commercial, and I had my own.
I think that we both were hired for like a print shoot, which when we were together, I think it was like a collection of actors and print models. And then we've had our own separate Black & Decker shoots.
Exactly. And then we were also, there was a TV commercial that ran that was an energy company or something.
Yeah.
And we were randomly cast in that as well. So
The name escapes me, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I've done so many. I can't
even. Exactly.
Somebody's like, hey, man, I saw you on such and such commercial. I don't even remember, man.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. That's what
whatever, bro. Yeah.
But, I say that humbly because, like, even like when you were asking me earlier for like the bio, and I was like trying to think of like how to sum up the acting side of it, and I was like, "Wow, 20 commercials! Like, I've done that." And for myself, it's only been a short span. I've only been acting actually 4 years now. It's actually to this day. Today was the first day, or 4 years ago today, I cast my first commercial.
No kidding.
Yeah, you know, it showed up in my memories, and I was like, wow, time flies. And that 4 years ago today, and here, you know, putting that bio, I was like, wow, it's been 20 plus since. And don't ask me to name all of them, because like I said, I couldn't list the names of the companies that, you know, they all come and go.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, I think that part of this, and I was talking, because a lot of actors watch this, I was talking about, last week, and I think the week before, about just like branding and you, one big thing is you have to be, you have to be comfortable in your own skin, but you have to also, I think you have to identify what kind of a type you are, what kind of an actor, what are you most likely to be cast as? Mm-hmm. Now you're in a unique situation even more so than I am. I mean, we're both Italian, but you can actually be cast as ambiguous.
Ethnically ambiguous.
Because. And so, you know, you can be somebody that's Latino, you can be somebody that's Italian, Middle Eastern. I mean, you just have like a really adaptable look, and that just opens up more avenues for you. And because you know that's part of who you are as an actor and your brand.
Yeah. And you have to be, you have to be receptive to that too, I think. I mean, I'm saying that for myself, and that like, I understand getting into this at an older age, as opposed to starting out as a child or even as a teenager, understanding, you know, like you said, this is the role I am suited for. And, you know, not so much like as far as the stereotype or like a negative, you know, type or anything like that, but this is the role, whether it's the fun dad or, you know, the older uncle or whatever the case may be that they're looking for, but embracing that. And the last two, three commercials that I've done now, I've had the, you know, I think the ambiguous or even like the mixed family look that the casting is looking for.
Exactly. I think that a big part of it is, of course, just being honest with yourself. Like for me personally, I tell everybody all the time, probably the reason why I've been cast as many times as I have is because I'm not model hot. I mean, you know, I'm not a bad looking guy, bro, but you know, but I'm not model hot. My buddies that are model hot in New York City, those guys don't work. They work like once a year for like a Gucci commercial or a BMW, you know, but
right.
I get cast and you know what? I'm cool with that. Mm-hmm. I'm cool with that. I get it, man. I get it. You know, I'm moderately attractive. I'm your next door neighbor, you know? But anyway, I wanted to talk about, and obviously it's great to connect with you on the acting stuff, but you have music is a big part of my life. You know, I own my own concert production company and promotion mm-hmm. company. And so I get to travel literally all over the world for that. And I love live music. I love music in general. I you know, and I'm kind of, you and I are similar, and I love the 80s. I think, you know, hands down, you know, the greatest era of dance music ever invented. Right. And so you have a life as a DJ, mm-hmm. and then you also have this other life as a mental health professional. And tell me a little bit and tell us a little bit about how you ended up, because this happened later in life too. You know, obviously you were in your 30s.
Yeah.
How did you decide that this was going to be like your next adventure, and what made you passionate about that?
The DJing, I'll start there because I came first. The DJing was, it was a hobby like anything, like the same thing. You have the passion for music and the love for music. And I always thought, I was the kid growing up that I wasn't really out drinking and doing like the, teenage stuff, I guess you could say. I mean, I was out playing sports and whatnot, but I knew that I was racing home at 8 p.m. because I had to record the top 8 at 8 on the radio and be able to catch those songs, you know, in whatever order and have them. So it was always the passion of being able to get involved and get invested with the music. And my first love was wanting to be on the radio, like a radio DJ. Radio's taken on a life of its own as time goes on, but DJing and the music side of it was always like, wow, I like the way these songs blend together, and I like the way the vibe and the feel of it. And obviously going to parties and going to events, I was always bugging the DJ at family events before I got into it, and, you know, hey, why don't you try this song? Hey, what about this? And then it just got to the point where I was like, I'm going to try this for myself. And I my father's friend fell into some DJ equipment, and I kind of picked up
style.
Yeah. Right, you know, read between the lines there, but I picked up from it from there, and like I said, a hobby turned into more of a passion, and then more of a like a profession. I started doing small gigs here and there, family events and everything, ultimately weddings, and then to the point where I'm traveling and doing that. But as any career goes or any profession goes, you start to think of what could, you know, be the next step, what lies ahead. And while doing all the company parties and the weddings and, you know, making nice money, making a nice name for myself, I got to travel the country doing gigs as well. But I in the back of my mind, I didn't want to be that quote unquote 50-year-old DJ who does Sweet 16s. You know, right?
Yes.
I didn't want to, like, while music itself is timeless, I didn't want to be the guy who like kind of wore out his welcome, you know, in that sense. And it got to the point where, like, I love playing the music that I enjoy and that others enjoy. But I at the time, I didn't really have the outlet for that because you have to give, you know, what the client is paying for, what the venue is asking for. So I thought plan B. And my original plan was to go back to school in my 30s and be a health and physical education teacher. That was the initial plan going in. I surveyed the landscape of education not just Philadelphia, but the school districts and whatnot. And I thought, I don't know. I feel like I would have been handcuffed. And I think the blessing in that is that I went back to school in my 30s as opposed to right out of high school, 18, 19 years old, where I had a little more life experience, more critical thinking skills, and that I wasn't just being told what to do. I was kind of, you know, laying my own foundation, saying this is what I ultimately want to do. So I made the parallel into going from health and phys ed into mental behavioral health. Hmm. And, you know, dotting the I's and crossing the T's as far as transferring credits and everything. And I fell in love with my internship that I did. I did my senior internship at a behavioral health facility here in Philadelphia. And I fell in love with it. I fell in love with the fact that every day it's never a dull moment, put it that way. You're seeing people from all walks of life, from 18 to 65, you know, anything, anxiety, depression, bipolar, schizophrenia, anything as far as their diagnoses and, you know, what they deal with on a day-to-day basis. And it taught me to meet people where they are. Mm-hmm. And I've been able to, like, translate that into not just what I do as a mental health professional, but also with music and understanding that music is also therapy. Music is such an amazing dynamic that maybe you and I may have taken for granted, in that we were always, you know, consumed by it and, you know, and surrounded by it. But others really just have that outlet as, you know, what do I do with this? You know, and how can I cope?
Exactly. And I think that music itself has such an amazing healing quality to it. It doesn't matter what kind of music it is. There's something about music, and you see this in your profession, and you know, that people are able to connect to it. You know, there's something about music. It's almost like a smell. You can connect to it. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more when we come back here in just a second from the next commercial break. And I want to hear more about music and how that plays into your advice. So I'm Kevin Barbaro. We're on Coffee Talk XL on talkradio.nyc. We'll be back in just a second.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Podcast Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back, everybody, to Coffee Talk XL. We're in our final segment now, and you're listening on talkradio.nyc. I've got my good buddy, Marco Rosario. You can follow him on Instagram at DJ Marco from Philly, all one word, DJ Marco from Philly. Or you can follow him on Twitch, because he does have a weekly Mental Health Monday night, 9 o'clock live on Eastern, 9 o'clock Eastern live on Twitch. So you can go to twitch.tv/DJ Marco from Philly, and you'll be able to watch that show as well. So anyway, I want to talk a little bit more about the whole mental health thing. Listen, man, I think that probably the smartest decision that I made as an adult was when I decided to go and talk to somebody about how I was feeling. I had gone through, and I don't want, just Reader's Digest, went through something really traumatic and lost everything, and it was my own fault. And it was hard to process all of that. And probably the best thing that I could have done was to go to somebody who didn't have a vested interest in telling me what I wanted to hear. I went to somebody to a counselor that can be completely objective and help me to start putting these things into place in the world of mental. What do you think? Because I was nervous about going. Mm-hmm. And what do you think it is about the stigma of mental health and even just talking about it? What do you think it is that keeps people from seeking help?
You hit the key word, stigma. That feeling of, especially with men, it's that feeling of I'm not allowed or I can't be vulnerable. I think a lot of times we are conditioned as men, especially older men, you know, depending on their generation, we're conditioned that we don't show emotion. We don't discuss those things. We just, you know, either take it on the chin or suck it up, you know, as we were told, or, you know, we don't cry about it and we just move on. You know, we just, you know, either distract ourselves with work or whatever else, and we just, you know, we just pick up and move on. And that's part of the stigma attached to it. There's other factors that fall into play as far as, like, you know, in terms of with not just men, but individuals as really, really not wanting to confront, you know, who they are. You know, yeah. a lot of people, if you ask the average person, and I do this on my show on Twitch, when I have guests on, the first question I ask them is not that I'm not interested in what you do. I'm interested in who you are. But please tell me, who are you? Because a lot of times people will identify themselves with what they do, their work, or, you know, their role in life as a, you know, a father, a husband, whichever the case may be. But who are you, you know, inside? A lot of people don't really know how to connect or even identify with that. So going to therapy or going to someone to talk to, like you said, they're objective. They're going to offer you some perspective and insight that maybe you kind of were aware of. You know, self-awareness, you know, in that aspect, but subconsciously you weren't putting it out into the work. You weren't putting the effort out there to confront it. And that's where I tell people, just having a simple conversation, meeting people where they are. And it's been for myself, like I said, not just as a mental health professional, but as an individual, but as a father, you know, as a DJ, even, you know, just having simple conversations and allowing people to just, yeah, open up.
Yeah, I think that a big part of it is that at the end of the day, because not only is there a stigma where people are afraid to go and seek help, also as somebody who, if you have a loved one or a friend or a colleague or a worker, a work colleague that comes to you, and it's obvious that they're struggling with something, not only are they afraid to talk about it, but for some reason, we don't want to open up to that person or even touch on it because we don't know what to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and I get that too, because a lot of times it's, you know, hey, I don't know what to say, so go to a therapist. It's not saying to point them in the finger, but our role as, again, a coworker or a friend or an acquaintance is to be that bridge and saying, listen, you may not want to admit it, or you may not want to, you don't have to tell me, but I know something's up. I know you're not yourself. And when you're ready, or if you're willing, I'm willing to listen. Because a lot of times people, when they, you know, they have something on their mind or something they need to deal with, they're either looking for answers or looking for some kind of like label. Like, what is this I'm feeling? What is this I'm going through? And if you're, you know, someone who likes to be a problem solver, right away were quick to, oh, this is what you need to do, or just get over it, or, you know, and they think back to their past trauma, you know, the way they were raised, you know, just get over it or stop worrying about it. And that's really not what they want to hear. It's really not what they need at that time. So simple things like, I may not have what you're looking for, I may not have the answers, but I'm here to listen. And if there's anywhere we can go, let's do that. So it's being that bridge.
What do you think? So to me, it seems like mental health issues are way more in front of us and in the open now than they have been in the past. And we're just coming out of a worldwide pandemic. People have been holed up in their homes. They don't know what direction to go in because the entire world has changed.
Yeah.
There's nothing that hasn't changed in this world. And in your professional experience and advice here, what do you think it is that we need to really focus on as a society to move forward, to make sure that we're taking care of people that can't take care of themselves?
Mm. I think first and foremost, before we, you know, we have to confront ourselves because we're all going through, we've all been through this pandemic, or, you know, are going through it. So aside from me as a professional, I'm looking at me as an individual and understanding that while the entire world stopped, the entire world came to a stop. And while it did, that allowed other things in our world and our lives to catch up. So maybe things that we kind of did not prioritize or things that we really did not want to give attention to, now we have no choice but to. So this is the opportune time for a lot of us to be, you know, honest with ourselves and say, you know, that job that I hated 16 months ago, do I really want to go back to it? You know, like, you know, even myself, like I've evaluated like the acting aspect, you know, where do I want to go once things do, you know, come back into play? Or even with DJing, do I want to go out back on the road as much? You know, so having that, you know, conversation with myself, and then again, offering the outlet to others. You know, there's a number of not just therapists now that you can speak to virtually on Zoom, you know, Skype or anything like that, but there's a number of apps, Talkspace. There are a number of things that, you know, that can help people and point them in the right direction.
Right. Now we were talking about music earlier. What do you think it is about music that is comforting or soothing to people? Because you're deep in that, in the music world. I'm deep in the music world. I have my opinions, but I was curious what you think the connection is with people.
I think like anything with feeling, there's going to be, you know, it's subjective. What you find comforting, I might find, you know, it hurts my ears. You know, I'm just, you know, that's just being extreme. But I think anything that involves a feeling, you know, has the impact to change your life. You know, a lot of people say, you know, with music, you know, what is it about music that you love? Well, it's comforting, it's soothing, it distracts me. Okay, but also keep in mind that music can keep you in that feeling that you're having. You know, like if you're feeling depressed, are you still listening to sad music? Are you still listening to things that, you know, keep you in that light? You know, or are you using it as a coping strategy where, you know, hey, I don't want to feel this way. You know, I'm going to find music that's going to pick me up and I want to dance. I go to the gym. I got, you know, my up-tempo music. That's all, you know, those are all coping techniques and strategies using music, you know, and utilizing it. I think it's a feeling. I tell bride and grooms that when I meet with them, that, hey, I'm going to meet you closer to the date of your wedding. Because if we meet 6 months from the event, you're going to change your mind. 3 months, you're going to change your mind. But a month or so out, music is a feeling. And I want to get as close to the feeling for your big day as possible. And then that changes the perspective because it really is like, you know, any song, it can be a mood changer. You know, we all have that song that you hear the first two notes and it's like, oh, yes. You know, like, that's really what it is.
Yeah, that's obviously I agree. I love music. I think it's probably the greatest invention that we have, at least one of. We're going to end up the show here in a minute. Real quick, greatest, most talented artist of the 80s, who would you say off the top of your head?
Oh, the 80s? They debuted in the 80s, you're saying? Or they signified the 80s?
Well, I'll tell you who I think. I'm just throwing this out there. I think that Prince
okay.
is by far the most talented musician of all time. We're not even talking the 80s, bro. What do you think?
We agree. No, we agree. definitely agree.
I knew you would agree with me anyway, because I know. Dude, he's so talented. Great singer, great dancer. Can play like 25 instruments. Anyway, dude, thanks so much for being on Coffee Talk XL. I'll have you back here soon. Best of luck with the DJing, the barbering, the husband, the dad, the acting, everything else, and with your show too on Mondays. So follow him on Instagram at DJ Marco from Philly. I'm Kevin Barbaro. Thanks for listening in to another Coffee Talk XL. I'll be back next week on talkradio.nyc, and we'll see you then.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talk Radio NYC with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply send us a message on our website, talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.